Zechariah 13, we will be looking at some things that are unbelievably controversial. I can't believe that there'd be controversy over some of this stuff, but there is. Like we talked about in Sunday school, though, if the devil's able to destroy your faith in God's Word and destroy your focus and get you off on other things like the traditions of man and church things instead of truth, then he can destroy your fellowship with the Lord. But he has destroyed a lot of unity in the church. When I say the church, I don't mean the Baptist, Presbyterians, Methodists, whatever. I mean the body of Christ around the world. So many different beliefs about different things that are not biblical. But today we'll look at Zechariah 13 and 14 a little bit. We'll begin in verse number 6 of 13, Zechariah 13, to see who we're talking about. One shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hand? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friend. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. The first thing I want to notice is his friends. Now, remember when Jesus Christ walked this earth, he looked at who's the one that sold him out? Anybody remember who sold him out? Judas. He looked at Judas, and what did he say to him? He called him friend. So the house of his friends, they had turned against him. They're the ones that decided he deserved the nail scars and the spear in the side, deserved to be crucified. Away with him, away with him. They said, we'll have no king but Caesar. So it was his friends that rejected him. Isn't it interesting that Jesus Christ, a friend of sinners, and he loved the world so much on Calvary that that the Father gave his only begotten Son. Jesus Christ died to please the Father and died to save sinners, and the majority of sinners, the majority of the people that he would look at and say, friend, I died for you, reject him. And it's a sad thing. They'll believe anything but the truth. We talked about that a little bit in Sunday school about evolution and how they'll make up all these lies and they'll believe the lie, strain a gnat and swallow a camel, right? They'll look at something in the Bible and say, well, how could this one little thing be true? And yet they'll swallow the camel of the Big Bang Theory. It's because he is a friend to sinners, but not all sinners are a friend to him. Amen? But his friends, we identify this person, this being in this passage, by the nail scars in his hands and his feet. We identify him by the fact that he was wounded for our transgressions. And here he is in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 6, telling them, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. You know, we sing the song, what a friend we have in Jesus. And boy, I'll tell you, we do have a friend in Jesus, a friend like no other friend, willing to lay his life down for you and I. But are you a friend of his? He's our friend, but are we truly his friend? Will we stand up for him? He would die for us, and yet few will die to self and live for him. And that's what he deserves, at least, for us to die to self, crucify ourselves and live with him, let him live through us, and live for him. Then you get over to chapter number 13 again, verse 8 and 9. And let's look at verse 8. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two part therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will find them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Now, you notice what's going on here? People are saying, well, I don't believe this, that, or the other. I don't believe the tribulation. I believe God's through with the Jews and all that. Look what it says right here. I believe they're saved the same way. No, they're not saved the same way. They have to put faith in Jesus Christ, and they're going to be going through a purifying process on this earth. You know what he's doing? He's bringing through a pure people to take into the kingdom. Now, there are going to be people in the kingdom that don't like him. I understand that. But we're talking about the Jews here. We're talking in Zechariah about the Jews. And you're talking about a remnant being left and brought through a fire to purify them. And that's what he does. He brings us through the fires of life to purify us, to get rid of some things in us in the church age. But he's going to focus primarily on Israel again after the rapture. And he's going to bring them through a purifying process. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to cling to him like they've never clung to him before. It's a fire. It's a trying of fire. It's a purifying like refining silver and trying of gold. He's going to remove the dross from a remnant and bring through a people that love him, that worship him, that will serve him. Because he is worthy. We see his friends. We see his fire. It's a purifying fire. In chapter number 14, verse 1, it says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, and I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity. And the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as he fought in the day of battle." We see his fight. You know what he comes back to do? He comes back to fight for Jerusalem, to fight for Israel. You say, well, God's through with Israel. Well, the only way you can make God through with Israel is you take this and you make this not be something that is going to happen, but something that has already happened, which makes no sense. But we see his friends, we see his fire, a purifying fire that has silver purifying and removing the dross from the gold. Now we see his fight. Look at verse 4. "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley." And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. We see his feet. We see his friends. They hung him on the cross. He turns back to Israel. We see his fire that purifies Israel. And we see that fight. Now we see his feet. His feet land on the Mount of Olives, and that thing splits and divides. And you know, it's easy to say, well, they're messing with the weather. They're messing with this. They're causing seismic that, or clouds. Hey, I believe this is going to be the power of righteousness hitting a sin-cursed earth is going to split that. That's what I believe. I believe it's going to be the fact that nothing can stand, nothing dirty, nothing filthy, nothing unclean or unholy can stand unchanged before the Lord. I believe he's going to hit that mount with his feet, and that mount, being on a sin-cursed earth, is going to split just from his presence. That's what I believe. And I believe the timing of that is such that the devil in his power is spewing out that water to devour Israel, and the power of God hits this earth and splits that open, and water drank up into that crevice, that's caused by the power of God standing on this earth and to save Israel. That's what I believe. His feet on the Mount of Olives cleave toward the north and south. It splits and it divides and separates. Now look at verse number 8. Down here, jump down to verse number 8. "And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea, in summer and winter shall it be." We see the water. Isn't that something? I believe the devil's water, that filthy water that's trying to consume Israel, is drank up by the earth. And then when the holiness of God shows up, that water that split, it's a holy water, a clean water. Hey, the Pope and the priests, they can't do what Jesus Christ is going to do. He's going to send some water out. They can swing their little smoke livers and all that stuff and do all their little hocus pocus, let's all focus stuff and try to feed people crackers to get them into their cold, all that stuff. They can do all the stuff. Water's going to come down through Jerusalem. It's going to purify it. It's going to give life. The Dead Sea is going to come alive. This place is going to be regenerated. And it's not because somebody's wearing a funny
That's nothing religion can do. Amen. There ain't no man gonna be able to do that. You can't get in a little box and talk to somebody with a bigger sinner than you are, probably, about your sin and get regenerated. You can't eat some cracker and drink some wine and be regenerated. You can't get somebody to flick water on you. Hey, that fluoride test water. You can't get somebody to flick that stuff on. Hey, they can run through osmosis. They can flick that stuff on you all day long. It's not going to help you. What's going to help you is that purifying from Jesus Christ. That's what you get in salvation. And that's what this earth is going to get when you stand on that Mount of Olives. And that water comes down through Jerusalem and purifies and cleanses and regenerates. It's going to be a new situation for 1,000 years while Jesus Christ rules and reigns over the earth. We see the water. Number 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day. Verse 12. This shall be played for the Lord my God. Blessed is the Lord. His word has more potential than he's never faced a battle that he lost. The devil thought he'd been on the battle. But all he did was lose the Christ. The Christ came out of that grave and took him to death. The devil thought complete and regenerate the earth. He's going to come back, regenerate, put on that call. If you don't come, keep the peace and worship him. Talk to the land. Continue. The flag of the land. Remember Solomon? Solomon's temple from the past has not been told. You can read that book and we can understand half of what the message is. One reason for the can't make those calls. Here's where the rubber meets the road in this passage. It's going to be fabulous. It's going to be stable. It's going to be future. You have to donate all of your brain cells from your body to not see this as future. But there are people out there saying, well, that's already been fulfilled. There is no prophecy of Christ coming back. He's not going to rule and reign. He's not going to tribulate. All that stuff's been fulfilled in 70 AD. Well, tell me when Jesus Christ stepped on the Mount of Olives and split open. Tell me when that water regenerated this earth. Is this place going to dump this earth? Tell me when the nations went to worship him. Tell me when those that refused got no rain. Tell me when those that refused had plague. Tell me when that happened. Tell me when our Lord sat on the throne of David. Tell me. Show me. Don't just make something up because you don't like God and don't want Jesus to reign. Show me where that's not going to happen. Everybody in here knows somebody probably told me, well, that's the first thing. Oh, Revelation's already in the temple. I got news for you. This, what we're in now, the ultimate term. All over. Sacred training book that has ever been. That book right there. That book right there. Not Playboy or Penthouse, National Geographic. Man, the most hateful this world's ever seen is that book right there. Because they hate the author. Hate the author. Over till the end of the transgression is going to be over for Israel. The end of the transgression. purifying process Jesus read about. Don't let anybody steal your faith. Don't let anybody steal your focus. Don't let anybody break your fellowship. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Don't let anybody stop. You say it, get it through the kingdom, and your spirit bear witness to this book. Everybody's turning into a Catholic. They just want to believe what the man tells them. They don't check him out. If I lied to you, go with the book. Don't go with me. You know what God calls the sheep? Those who want to be led. And if you're not led by the Spirit, then you're led by the Spirit. Amen. You think you've got the fight to dance and stuff? We want somebody to follow. We want to put our faith in somebody. We want to put our faith in somebody that doesn't take faith in you. You can see it. My faith in somebody that takes faith in you. You better trust the Lord for confidence. Man, he's coming back, and it's going to be fabulous. You know what else would be fabulous before he comes back? Hey, if you like Jesus Christ, we're going up there to prepare for Christ. You're going to be excited when you leave. Most people would be shocked. What are you doing anyway? Amen. 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 You know, I
don't know anyway. They're going to hear their name. Out here.
Well, that's the rapture, the wind of the Bible.
Hang on.